Delia
and Jazz,
and you are live with us for another virtual episode of Soul Tong Sessions, the Corona edition.
Corona edition.
Yes. Y'all been missing us. We know y'all miss us. 1 week is just too long to kick it with your friends, right?
It feels long.
It does.
It feels long. So first off the bat, thank you guys again for watching, for subscribing. I'm noticing that subscriber number inching up. For commenting, we really appreciate the feedback. We do this for the culture. We do it for y'all.
That's right.
We appreciate y'all playing us in the background while y'all at work or while y'all packing up to move across the world. We really do appreciate that. Yes, y'all could be anywhere in the world, but you here with us. Oh man, ladies, how y'all doing this week?
Good.
Really? Good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm home. I'm home with my family, so I'm feeling real good right now.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. How about Jazz? How you feeling? Yo, I respect the earrings.
Yes. These are my beauty supply store earrings, 99 cents.
You didn't even have to tell me. I was like, I know where those came from.
Go ahead and get you a pair.
You can get them in red, green, yellow, or plain natural wood.
I like it.
I'm representing the culture. Oh my gosh. Yo, it's time to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
It's time.
What we talking about? Who we talking about today?
What we talking about? What we got on the docket today?
We talking about the elephant in the room, known as Rona. Y'all know Rona?
That Rona.
Not to be confused with all the other Ronas you might know. That Rona, we ain't talked about Rona in a serious capacity this whole time, and Rona got us all locked up.
Right. That Rona, she out here. She done took over the whole 2020.
Mm. All of it. Mm. It's kind of crazy. Like, it's Rona, been, what is it, 3 months now? And it's like, this is our new normal.
Yeah.
People were saying that, like, this is going to be the new normal. And I was like, first of all, what is this? And then what makes it new? And what was the definition of the old normal? I want to know what we're replacing. I didn't have a grid for the terminology. Mm. And then, you know, there are those five stages of grief, right? So I was in denial for a minute. I was like, nah, this ain't, because Rona met me off the plane, mind you.
That's right. So you came home and Rona was right there on your front door.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, surely in a couple of weeks, this all blow over. It's not this serious. Meanwhile, numbers tick-tocking on the way up. I said, okay, Americans actually have to wear masks.
They protest. I know. Wasn't that surreal? Like, seeing, because we're used to in Korea, like, we'll see people wearing masks. And I remember
self-masking in Korea. Yeah.
Exactly. I remember the first time in Korea I saw somebody with a mask on, and I was like, oh, Lord, what? Who?
Right. What's happening? Like, what's happening?
You know,
Here's my question about that. When the first time you saw someone in a mask, did you think, oh, they are afraid I'm going to give them something, or they are afraid that they're going to give me something? Like, what was your perspective?
I was confused. I literally didn't know. I was like, are they sick and they're trying to contain, or are they like prevent? Like, I was confused. I thought
it was like they had something and they were trying not to pass it. That's what I was thinking.
I thought that they thought we had something, the general public, and they were like, nah. I thought they were all germaphobes. And I was like, dude, is it that deep? And then later on, I realized, like, when you go to if you have a cold and you go to the doctor in Korea, they give you a face mask. Like, okay, for the next 2 weeks, put this on.
Yeah.
But that's our grid.
Yeah. Okay? But then it just became normal. Like, you just see people in Korea with masks, and it's not a big deal after a while.
Especially then with like the air quality. So then if the air quality wasn't that great, you were like, okay, I'm going to put a mask on today when I go outside, because the air quality wasn't always that great. So it just became part of our like routine, our normalcy, right? Mm-hmm. But then switch it up to here in America, it's like wearing a mask is completely foreign to people here.
Yeah.
So it was like a whole new switch of, you know, like, what are we going to do and why are we wearing this? And I can't breathe with it on, and I don't like it covering my face. Like, it was a whole thing that people had to get used to.
Yeah.
Did they get used to it?
Because
people are still refusing.
No. People, no, they're not used to it. Like, it's so weird. And, like, for me, it was my brain couldn't like reconcile mask in America. Like I was literally confused, like, wait, am I still in Korea? Like people wearing masks. But then it's like, you get people who refuse to wear them, which mm-hmm. is what a lot of people are doing right now because they think that Rona is over. Or number two, they styling it like a piece of like an accessory. Like this is not, like it ain't no little chin strap, no little headband, like a little hanging off the ear. Like there's so many variations. I'm like, leave it to Americans to you know,
the patterns, all the different patterns that people are rocking and wearing. In Korea, it was just like the medical ones. Like you just had the straight medical joints. But here, everybody wants to get their pattern. They want to have different fabrics and colors. I mean, look, I have two to match my outfits. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. That's the question. Out of all of this chit-chatting, who got designed a face mask? I need to know. Which one of y'all rocking
did it? I have my girl Susie hook me and my family up. So thank you. Shout out to Susie. Thank you,
baby. Shout out to Susie. Susie hooked my family up as well. My brother-in-law and my sister, their last name is Potter. So she made them Harry Potter face masks.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. Yeah, that they wear to their protests, mind you. You can see them on the streets with their hands up and their Harry Potter on the face.
Listen.
But Candace, we know that you said you were coming. Oh, sorry, Jazzy. Go ahead.
No. Oh, I was just going to say people are out here making bank off of masks. I've seen them go for $16, $32, yes. Like a grip for one. I'm like, y'all doing too much.
It's a whole thing. But I mean, hey, this is what we're doing. We're all becoming very creative on like ways to stay active, but then also to stay like to like help people, you know, like during this time. And that was the main thing at the beginning was like, okay, how can I help? I know how to sew. Let me make some masks and, you know, send them out to people and help out, right? So, yeah. But I was going to say, Candace, you said you were, it was like right when you came home, right? Like right when you came home, Rona was hitting, right? Jazzy, where were you when like all this was starting to go down?
Girl, I was trying to work my job, live my life.
Living your best life. And Rona said, not this year.
Not today.
Like literally it broke out. Well, we still have contacts in Korea, right? So we keep up with Asian news, Korean news. Like we know what's going on before most people here do just because we have that tie. So right. I was hearing it pop off in Korea and China and Asia. And I was like, dang, like that's, you know, it's getting serious over there. And then when Candace came home or she was like, you know, trying to come home, I was like, man, like this thing is serious. Like it's, you know, it's starting in America. And I don't know, it seemed like it happened overnight because like we had just gotten married, just moved into our place, just like unpacking, settling in, and I'm still going to work every day trying to like, you know, balance all of these new things at once. And then it was like, boom, Rona. Next day, like the world is shut down. Right. So it was so surreal to kind of like watch the ripple effect from across the globe, you know, and to how it just like blew up in America.
That's true.
Wow. How about Delia? Where were you at? What were you at?
I think, yeah, like Jazzy was saying, you know, because of our connections to our friends who live in Asia, I was hearing about it. I was talking to friends of mine who were teachers and they were talking about things that were happening in their schools and like how they were shutting down already. And then like Jazzy said, the trickle effect, like you just kind of heard or saw it starting to make its way over here. And then I was actually in class with one of my students and, you know, they were talking about it. We weren't sure what was going on. And then she got an alert on her phone and she was like, they cancel school next week. And I was like, wait, what? She was like, yeah, school's canceled next week. And I was like, hold on. So then like rehearsal stopped. Everything just kind of like hit a halt. Everybody's checking their phones, checking their alerts to see what's going on. And that was it. That was the last day I saw my students. Because then next week, everything was shut down, canceled, and we haven't been back since, you know?
So did you even have that opportunity, like, to say goodbye to them? Like, you didn't, you just thought, okay, I'll see them.
That was it. It was just cut. And even, like, one of the schools that I was working in, I had left all my materials at the school. So I had to call the principal and set up another day for me to come into the school to even just get my materials. Because everything just completely shut down, like, immediately. You know, so there was no time to kind of figure that out. And I don't think anybody thought it would last this long either. So people were like, okay, we're out for a week or 2 weeks. We'll go back. you know, end of April or something like that, and none of that happened. So one of my students was the ones who told me, she was like, yeah, everything shut down, we don't have no school next week.
I think, yeah, the initial, because I mean, I work with kids as well, and the initial kind of feeling or thing that we could compare it to was like a natural disaster or a snow day where you're out of school for a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people, it kind of felt like that. That was the only experience that we have had with something like this, you know? But then the longer it went on, it was like, oh man, like this is something serious, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
So we got this kind of like stay in place. What's it called? Safe in place.
Yeah. Shelter in place.
Shelter in place. That's it. That's what it is. Shelter in place. So for me, it was like, okay, this thing is popping off to a very serious level. So you need to cancel your flight back, push all travel plans off indefinitely. And then whoever you're in the house with, like, that's it. It's going to be y'all too for a while now. It was just me and my mom. And I'm like, well, we're about to get real close and comfortable and get to know each other on a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How about that part? Because Jazz, like, you are still, we're still essentially a newlywed. And now it's like you stuck at home with this man day in and day out indefinitely. It's a honeymoon that never ends.
It was our staycation honeymoon. That's what we call it. But actually, like, I know a lot of bad things happened with Corona, and I'm not saying it was good, but I think there were some good things that came out of it. And that was one for us, was getting to have that extended period of time where we are together 24/7. Like, that's just what it was. Like it or not, we are stuck with each other, but we had so much fun. Like, literally, I mean, because what we like to do anyways is just chill. Netflix on the couch, like, eating junk food, eating popcorn. That's our everyday anyway. So to have, like, that time carved out to where we can just chill, do what we want when we want, like, watch what we want, whatever, it was a lot of fun. So we got to have that introduction as our first couple of months of marriage.
But nice foundation y'all built right there.
Yeah, but we made it intentional with quality time. We played games. We did, like, get to know you things. Like, because we're big fans of, like, even though we've been together for a while, we still like to learn about each other. So we would, like, go on walks around the neighborhood, because you could still go outside in your little area. We'd, like, go on walks every day to get some fresh air and, like, just ask each other questions about, like, how we grew up or our families, stuff like that. So we made the most of it.
That's good.
Do you think that this time then kind of laid a significant foundation for your marriage?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I was like, you know, if you think about it, this is the only time that we're going to have just the two of us before we have kids and have a family. Like, not a lot of people get this opportunity to start out their marriage with all of this time, all of this quality time to just connect. So I'm grateful.
Wow, that's on a new level right there.
Yeah.
Mm. Dee, how about you? Were you happy with the group you were trapped with? Like the escape room with no way out, no matter how many puzzles you solve.
Right. It was difficult at first because none of my roommates and I were home every day, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was a different dynamic because, I mean, I worked from home pretty regularly. And I had another roommate who worked from home once a week, but then the others were just kind of like out, you know, in and out. So now we're all home. And I think the biggest difference that I saw was using the bathroom and using the kitchen. Like, those were things that then had to be, you know, like, maneuvered around, you know what I mean? I had to then schedule my cooking time based off of, like, when somebody else was in the kitchen with their cooking, you know? And so it was just little things like that. And you started to kind of just feel everybody's presence a little bit more than you would on a regular, you know, given day. But I tried to do the same thing as Jazz, like get out, go for a walk, ride my bike, just to kind of like get out of my space and do some stuff. But yeah, I felt it. I definitely felt the difference with all of us being at home as opposed to like us constantly going in and out throughout the week.
Yeah. So my youngest sister, she's been at home with my mom longer than any of us because she just did. And I think I was like home the least because I was the oldest and I went off and then that was it, you know. So this is the longest I've even been in my city in more than a decade. And this is like the first time I've lived with my mom since, what, high school?
Wow.
In high school. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm like, what, 15 years older than I was the last time I lived with my mom, right? But moms, they're going to be moms forever. Yeah. Their parents, your dad, you said something a few weeks ago, D, like, you're at home with your dad, and you a grown woman, and your dad need to know. I felt that in my spirit, it bore witness. Because you want to move like you move, but right. You know, they didn't have anything to do with
he's still like, but I'm sorry, but you know,
all of that,
right,
with the gestures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then what do? Like, you just have to eat it up, you know. So I found myself like watching this is so embarrassing, but I would find myself like watching like people on TV like that are living in their like studio apartment, and then they go out for like a drink with their friends, and I was like, oh, that must be nice.
So you used to do that.
I don't even know what the movie was about. Just those scenes.
That's
was like
the scene that you connected with.
But to be self-actualized.
What was it like? Because as an expat, you're overseas for so long, and you don't have that family connection in the same way. So now that you're coming home, what was that like to like see your sisters, reconnect with them, reconnect with your new brother-in-law, like your mom? What was that like for you?
So did I mention I do therapy now? Yeah, that helps.
Bet, that's real.
Because it's a lot. Like we've all had this actually. We live our life according to what we desire to become and who we desire to be in the world, especially in Korea. It's a very like individual, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like me and Jazz lived around the corner from each other, and it was like, I go to sleep at this time, I wake up at this time. If I have to travel 45 minutes to see you, it's not gonna happen.
Right.
Like you set the terms of your own life and your own connection, level of intimacy. Mm-hmm. Whereas with family, they are as deep can go, whether you like that or not. Mm-hmm. You have to make the effort. I can't say to my baby sister, like, I don't want to take the hour and a half trip to see you or help you out at work because I don't feel like getting up. Like, that's not an option. But for the last 15 years, every decision I made was optional. Like, right. There's no mandate on my life or my time. And then I came into a place where all of my time felt mandated. Mm-hmm. And so that was really rough. And then my family is also very, very, we're family oriented. None of us had friends outside of cousins until we went away, you know, like not even in high school. Yes. So then I was kind of looked at like, yo, why don't you engage more? Why do you sleep so late? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? And I'm wondering if you guys felt that when you first came back, like, did you have these like idiosyncrasies you picked up from abroad that don't really fit in a quarantine environment no more? Like, I would bump into people and not say anything. Like, I would bump into my sister and not say nothing. Yes. And she'd be like, what the heck? Were you raised by wolves?
You do. You carry that Bali culture like that.
Bali,
you
know, right?
We're used to moving so fast and doing things in our own time, our own pace. And the same thing, like even out in public, like I'll be moving fast and like bump someone and not apologize. But that's a problem in America. Like you can't do
that. Especially as a black woman. Exactly. I almost got beat up at a Auntie Anne's in St. Louis. Because I did that. Girl, she was big too. Would I tell you I saw the end of my life?
Exactly. Like, you will get in a fight on aisle 7 of the grocery store. It's
yes.
So I had to, like, it's so hard, like, retraining your mind. And even, like, I mean, even bowing to say hello. Like, that took a while to wear off. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you catch yourself mid-bow before and be like, oops?
You've got a lot of ways to play that off, though. Like, you could not.
You just go down and tie your shoe. That's me.
Yeah. Your shoe, laceless shoes. Yeah.
Right.
No, I think when we talk about, like, quarantining in place, and then you come with these kind of from a different lifestyle, like all of that comes out. All of that comes out. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing though is how you know more about your family now, right? So there's that concern. How about you guys? Like, have you started to experience like deeper levels of concern for your loved ones, especially those that are older who might be exposed to these things? Like, how have you guys handled that side of it?
Yeah, I think that was one of my biggest concerns, was like my dad, you know, and just making sure that he was okay, making sure that he was being safe. And my dad loves to do his own thing, right? He's a hands-on kind of man. He loves to work with his hands. He loves to do things. He loves to be out and about. So then going from being able to like kind of have his own schedule during the day, but then on top of that, not having to take care of my two younger brothers all day, but then on top of that, not being able to go anywhere and move the way he wanted to, I was like, Dad, I need you to stay in the house. Oh, I got to go to BJ's. Oh, I got to go to the... No, you don't need to go anywhere. I need you to stay in the house because you are one of the people that might be considered at risk. So I need you to stay home and just relax, you know? And so it was concerning. Me and my siblings, we were always very concerned about him because he likes to go, I went to the market. Why? Oh, I had to pick up something. Really? Did you have to pick up that item? Like, could you not have just stayed home, you know? But that's my dad. Like, he just loves to be able to move and do things. And so, yeah, I was concerned at first, like, are you being okay? Are you wearing a mask? Are you, you know, washing your hands? Are the boys okay? And the boys, they didn't, like, it was like you said, Jazzy, it was like a snow day, you know, like they were like, we're home from school. Like they were enjoying it. And then my stepmom, she's a healthcare worker. So she was on the front lines day in and day out, you know, with people who were getting sick, with elderly patients. And so the concern was very real for her as well, that she wasn't, you know, one, she was going to be safe, but then also what might she carry home to the house? So yeah. It was kind of like emotionally stressful for the first month or so, as all of these reports and cases are starting to come in. It was very much like, is my family okay? And do I need to like get in my car and drive, you know, drive up to where they at and like help take care, you know, cause I'm the oldest, right? So in my mind, I'm like, okay, big sis needs to come. Like, do I need to get in my car and drive to be whatever I need to be for y'all? Like that was my mindset, you know?
How did your How did your stepmom navigate that? Because like when I would see these people on the news, like they were first responders and then they would go home, they would like put themselves in separate rooms. I saw like a couple where the mom had like a Winnebago parked outside and she like lived in that.
Yeah.
Like, how did your stepmom deal with that?
She's very intentional. She always has been, because she does work with a lot of elderly and sick patients. So she's always very intentional, but even more so now. So like she comes home, she makes sure that she keeps herself separate until she's able to completely like clean herself, you know, and then just make sure like she disinfects everything. Laundry is being done on a even more regular basis now than it was before. So they've been very vigilant, you know, and thankfully they were able to get supplies and things like that. You know, we have, you know, storage of stuff. That's, I always grew up with having like a food storage or like a supply storage in our house. So they had enough to get them through the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But they're always very vigilant about like her making sure that she stays separate until, you know, she knew that she was clean and she knew that she was okay. And then even with the boys, you know, like there was a period of time where she was like, she didn't even really want to hug them or kiss them. And that was hard for her as a mother to not be able to kiss her boys and hug her boys, because she just wanted to make sure she was protecting them, you know? So yeah, it's been kind of difficult, but, everybody, like all the first responders, all the people who have to go in every single day to work, I commend every single one of you. And like, yes. I don't know how you guys are doing.
Yes, to our first responders. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That takes a whole nother level.
The stress of that alone would like weigh on my shoulders. You know what I mean? Like just not knowing, like, you don't know if you're going to go to work today and catch something that you bring home to your family. Like you just don't know, but you got to go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, so
on top of the trauma of being around it all the time, you were seeing people struggle for their lives around you.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Jazz, how about you? What kind of concerns kind of came up during this for you and your loved ones, and how did you cope?
Yeah. concerns for my parents. They are nearing that retirement age. Kind of, I think a lot of us are in that bracket where our parents are close to retirement. And so it's like, they are more vulnerable to these things. And, you know, some of my family members have pre-existing health conditions, which makes them even more vulnerable, you know, so you're always thinking about those things. And then my brother, my younger brother, he's a healthcare worker as well. So he's exposed to a lot. So just, yeah, those different things. Like, I would call them and check in. Our family is very close. So we've been able to keep in touch a lot during the pandemic. But yeah, I think initially, like Dee said, it was just making sure everybody had supplies. So that was kind of like the first few phone calls when, you know, rumors of the shelter in place order were kind of looming around. People were like, hey, make sure you go to the grocery store, do a run, make sure you get, cleaning supplies, everything that you need to kind of like bunker in your house for the next month, the next couple of weeks. So I think that like, that was, I don't want to say scary, like it wasn't exactly scary for me, but it was just like, nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew what this thing was going to look like. All we knew was we had to run to the grocery store and, you know, get stuff, which is when the toilet paper situation, you know, went down. So it was like, yeah, I don't know. Our family just kind of came together to see about each other. And my mother-in-law would call and be like, hey, I'm sending you guys some gloves, some masks, make sure you guys are straight, you know? So there was a lot of just coming together to make sure that everyone had all the supplies that they needed.
Yeah. I think one of the things that kind of helped cope and kind of mitigate concern, because I think like when my mom first started finding out, her fear was very visible. Like, she was never saying like, I'm scared or da da da, but like her temper was short, or she would watch the news like incessantly, you know? And I'm like, yo, that's not gonna make this situation no better. So you realize like the mental state of the people you're, you know, sheltering in place with. And I think that that was a huge concern. So I was super like relieved when people gave us more ways to cope, like the versus battles.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Take your mind. It really worked. Take your mind off of it. Okay. What's your favorite versus? Did y'all watch those?
Yes. I watch them every time.
You would text me like, girl, did you see this one? I'm like, oh no. Dilly, did you ever watch any versus?
I did. I watched, I don't think I watched all of them, but I watched most of them. And I would say my top one was Kirk Franklin and Fred Hammond. That would be my number one. And then my number two would be Jill Scott and India. That was my, like, I just, the Jill Scott one just kind of had me like, just in my feelings, but then also just like feeling really good about like my life. And just, it just was like encouraging, you know what I mean? And then like the Kirk Franklin one was me just being like, I'm sorry, everybody, but balls to the wall, just like in worship, just like going for it, just top of my lungs. I can just, you know what I mean? Just let loose. And since Jazzy told me that I could find all of the songs in a playlist, that's all I've been listening to, is just all the different playlists. I didn't even know that that was out there. So I've just been going through and listening to all the playlists since it started.
Jazz, what's your take on the verses?
I love the versus battle. So shout out to Timbaland and Swiss Beatz for putting that together, because that was brilliant. Like, you have a captive audience, but then a lot of us are music lovers. Loved it. Of course, the Babyface and Teddy Riley one, like, come on. That was, like, entertainment.
We're for the wrong reasons.
The first one or the first one?
It was entertaining for the wrong reasons.
The first one gave me so many laughs. Like, I cannot. The memes that came out of that battle, oh my gosh. Love that one. I love T-Pain and Lil Jon. All of them. I don't know. All of them. I love them.
I'm with Delia. I like that Jill Scott and Erykah Badu one, because they just love each other. You can see
it.
Real artists who really respect the other artists. You know when the artists make that face? You know that face?
Like, same face.
That's like the epitome of love and appreciation, right? And they're both like doing it when they hear each other's stuff. And I just felt like, oh, that's us, minus the musical skill.
Yep, exactly. Literally.
So much love.
It was good. But it was just what we needed. Like, that music music is universal, right? It's a universal language, like love. So, like, us just being able to get through what we need to get through with some music, just a chill vibe or a hype vibe, whatever it was, it helped us to take our mind off of it, you know? I hear, like, in times of war, entertainment actually shoots up in times of war because people need an outlet. People need a minute. We didn't have that with this because, you know, movie theaters and all that kind of stuff shut down.
Right.
But then we were able to have, like, these IG battles that I don't even really know how it started, but it's become a thing now, you know? Yeah. And it's been really fun to just be able to have that to connect to.
Yep.
I like it.
The next one comes out on Monday. Jadakiss and Fabulous.
Oh, that's right.
That's what we got to start doing. We got to educate the public on when these verses are coming out.
So what do you guys think? Oh, go ahead, Candace. I can't hear y'all very well. I'm trying.
So my question is, what's next? I mean, we're not in our second wave. We're in a new peak.
Mm.
The virus is peaking. I want to say that to all of our listeners because it's hard to find what's going on with coronavirus on the news now because we're protesting and we're trying to get equal rights for Black people in particular. So the numbers and all the severity of the virus right now seems to be downplayed, at least in Missouri, like on St. Louis news is not a highlight, but the numbers have started to peak. Canada is extending their border closures. I know because I called the check.
they
don't want nothing to do with our kind. They're like, yo, no Americans, because they don't know how to keep their mask on. So my question is, like, what are your plans for moving forward as we go through this new peak? And then even maybe, you know, when all this is said and done, what are your plans for the future? Like, where do we go from here?
Nobody knows.
that simultaneous head shake was everything.
No, it's hard to say because each person, each individual, each family has to decide, like, what is going to be your level of engagement with society. Like, that's not a decision that you can take lightly, right? So for us, we've been trying to decide, like, okay, what is our summer going to look like? 4th of July is right around the corner. We had big plans for our first summer in a new city. You know, there's a lot to do around here, but it's like, now we can't, you know? So we're just trying to figure out, like, what can we do to still have fun and to still enjoy the summer, but not put ourselves at risk and, like, be in big crowds of people all the time. So I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like.
It's crazy, right? Dia, how about you? Do you got any?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I know that people are starting to get notices from jobs as to whether or not they're going to be even going back into work in their office buildings, or if they're going to be extending, you know, the work from home for the next couple of months to even the end of the year, mm-hmm. you know? And then schools, a lot of schools are trying to figure out, are we going to open up in August and September for a new school year? Or are we going to continue, you know, this learning from home, this distance learning situation?
And that
so for me, right, for me as an educator, I have no idea what the next couple of months are going to look like. And then as an artist, theater is essentially shut down. Mm-hmm. So like there really isn't a lot going on right now in the theater world. Some schools are even saying that, like, we're not even going to do a new intake of class for the new year. You know, we're going to push it back to 2021 or push it back to even 2022. So theater is at a standstill right now as well. People are trying to do things online, but it's not the same. Theater is in person. Theater, you get that energy, right, from the audience and from the other people on the stage. That's what brings that life to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what it looks like for the next couple of months. It's like disheartening a little bit because it's like, man, this is a, I wanted this summer, like Jazzy was saying, I wanted this summer to be like, okay, I'm finally on my feet this summer. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do good
literally.
Things. Yeah, it's like, I was so excited. And now it's just like, womp womp.
Yeah.
You know, but I have no idea what fall is going to look like. I got a big birthday coming up in October. I wanted to do something big. And now it's like, I don't think I'm going to really get that chance. Mm-hmm. Like so many people have had to kind of do.
Yeah.
Through the last couple months.
Mm-hmm. I was never supposed to be here, y'all. Like
you got caught in this pandemic.
I have the flights that keep like rebooking themselves. Now I don't even call the airline no more. They just keep pushing it back. And like, I wanted to go to Montreal for my birthday, like you were saying, we have these plans, and Rona was like, nah, I'll be you staying home. So I, you know, like, who knows? There is no future planning. You can't plan for the future under these circumstances. There are no predictions that are accurate, because until people get some act right, start wearing their masks, not acting like it's an option, start washing your hands, start staying in, like, until we all agree to take those excessive measures for an extended period of time, round and around and around we go. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to be on somebody island, country hopping.
Yeah.
Man. Girls.
Girls.
We made it. We made it to these new United States just in time to be locked down together. I'll tell you what, though. If ever I had to endure a virus, a pandemic on a global scale, I wouldn't mind doing it with y'all. Same. And a couple of versus battles. All right. Well, it's that time. Time to shut this down. You guys, we do really appreciate every comment, everything that you guys give us. So please remember to share, subscribe, like, rate us on the platforms that have rating, like Apple, iTunes, and we'll see you soon. Until next time.
Until next time.
Until next time.